Thanks for listening to the Best of Outkick the Coverage podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis on Fox Sports Radio.
Philip Rivers is officially done with the Chargers after a long tenure in San Diego and LA. 16 years with the San Diego and LA Chargers. Some stats for you that really are kind of mind-blowing. Chargers records. Philip Rivers owns the record for quarterback wins, 123 of them. The next closest is 86. Passing yards, 59,271. Next closest, 43,000. Passing touchdowns, 397 to 254. Three passing touchdown games, 58 to 37. 4,000-yard seasons, he had 11 of them. The next closest had three. And when you think about the 2004 quarterback draft class, now we have Eli Manning and Philip Rivers both moving on from their respective teams. The other guy was Ben Roethlisberger, who is still with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Three quarterbacks were drafted in the top 11 back in 2004. An argument, this is the best draft class at quarterback maybe ever when you consider the longevity. All three have played with the same team for at least 16 years. And again, Roethlisberger still with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Four Super Bowl rings, two for Roethlisberger, two for Eli. Consecutive starts for quarterbacks, number two all-time with Philip Rivers at 224, number three all-time with Eli at 210, and 410 career wins between all three. So, Philip Rivers, yes, I understand the end of his tenure with the Chargers was not very good this past year. He also never really quite was able to get over the hump and make a legitimate Super Bowl run. I think the furthest he has ever gone was playing with the torn ACL, if I'm not mistaken, in the AFC Championship game. That's the farthest he ever made it so far in his career. The Chargers sort of specialized in finding ways to lose games down the stretch in excruciating fashion. And now the question is, for LA, what is their move going to make, given the fact that they now have a head coach in Anthony Lynn who has the opportunity to go out and find whoever is the right guy to represent his franchise in the years ahead? We're about to dive into the free agent market, and I'm going to give you a list of all these different guys that are out there potentially available. But also, are the Chargers interested in a guy like Justin Herbert? Could they be interested in a guy like, I believe, Jordan Love, who is moving up the draft boards? Big news from a health perspective is that Tua is said to be recovering very well, and we'll probably talk with Dr. Chow about this later in the week. But it looks like, at a minimum, Tua will be gone at number five overall, and somebody may be willing to take him before number five overall based on his health. So this is going to be maybe the most interesting offseason for quarterbacks in the history of the NFL. I don't think that's hyperbole when you actually look at all the guys out here that are a part of this overall marketplace. In fact, let me hit you with this. Quarterbacks scheduled to be free agents come March. All right, are you ready? Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Dak Prescott, Ryan Tannehill, Philip Rivers, Jameis Winston, Teddy Bridgewater, Marcus Mariota, Case Keenum. I mean, that is a lot of guys that the vast majority of you out there would all recognize and be familiar with. And there are a lot of team decisions still to be made. So where does Philip Rivers go? The odds market out there has some intriguing options for him. And again, all of these sort of interplay together because there are a lot of guys that are all moving parts and we're not sure exactly where they're all going to go. But FoxBet has hung some lines out here on where they think Philip Rivers ends up. And that in and of itself is kind of a difficult decision. But right now, when you look at the numbers, Phillip Rivers is favored to end up with the Indianapolis Colts. And if the Colts pass on him, the next most likely team is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have to figure out what they're going to do with Jameis Winston, and the Indianapolis Colts have to figure out what they're going to do with Jacoby Brissett. And until they are able to make those two decisions, Phillip Rivers is going to be a free agent. Now, I actually think that Rivers makes a lot of sense to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because of the talent they have at wide receiver, whether it's Evans, Godwin, or Perryman, O.J. Howard at tight end, and the fact that Bruce Arians has once before gone with Carson Palmer, an aging veteran, brought him in to run the offense and had a lot of success. After Jameis Winston joins the 30-30 club, do you really want to try him again, or are you okay with letting him be a free agent, leave, go sign Phillip Rivers, use Rivers for the next 2 to 3 years as a quarterback bridge, believe you're good enough to compete in the NFC South, and then potentially go back in and draft a young quarterback to be the future of the franchise that Bruce Arians gets to pick himself? I think that's an intriguing question. Same sort of decision looms for the Indianapolis Colts. What exactly do they do? Jacoby Brissett didn't appear to be the answer when he got a full year with the unexpected retirement of Andrew Luck. Well, now you've got Phillip Rivers kind of hanging around out there. Do you feel like he is a guy who can come in, be better than Jacoby Brissett, and potentially be a bridge to a new, younger quarterback that might be drafted by the Colts? All of these are intriguing questions. You also, as a Colts fan, have the possibility of going and getting a new quarterback and starting Jacoby Brissett for another year and just using him as the bridge. At some point, you could go ahead and move on from him as well. And so there are a lot of different moving parts with all of these quarterbacks that are potentially going to be hitting the free agent marketplace. And let me hit you with all of them again. I don't know that we've ever seen a year like this at the quarterback position, because usually quarterbacks are not allowed to hit free agency because they're so valuable. We never really know what they would be worth on the open market. Well, again, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Dak Prescott, Ryan Tannehill, Phillip Rivers, Jameis Winston, Teddy Bridgewater, Marcus Mariota, and Case Keenum come March all out there with the viability to leave and go to new teams. And obviously, the Tom Brady decision is going to loom super large. He's never been an unrestricted free agent like this. I want to start with the news officially out about Phillip Rivers with Eddie Garcia, whose wife is a season ticket holder, which means he has seen a lot of Phillip Rivers games over the years. What do you think happens with Phillip Rivers going forward, and what do you think the Chargers do now that they officially don't have a quarterback?
And by the way, Phillip Rivers is her all-time favorite player.
Yeah, so right.
She was crushed. Very bummed out, obviously, yeah, about this. I think what the Chargers do now is they go out and draft the best available quarterback, and they probably go with Tyrod Taylor for at least a season. As far as
that seems, let me just say this: that seems really tough to start Tyrod Taylor as you move into a brand new stadium in LA. Nobody is buying season tickets to watch Tyrod Taylor play quarterback. It may be a smart decision long range, but that is that seems to be a very difficult sell, I would think, in a marketplace where no one is buying their season tickets already.
I don't disagree with that, but I think if they were thinking with just that in mind, they would have brought Phillip Rivers back.
I think maybe they just go. I think they have to be either thinking free agent or first-round quarterback and almost just give the reins to the first-round quarterback or certainly the free agent. It sounds crazy to me that Brady would be a viable option for them, but there's lots of smoke out there that Tom Brady wants to finish his career in L.A. Maybe that's related to Giselle. Maybe it's just Brady's people trying to put that out there to make the New England Patriots have to make commitments to him that maybe they don't want to. I still think Brady's going to ultimately come down to who will give him a two-year guarantee if he thinks he wants to play for two more years. And I think the Patriots may well be a team that's saying, hey, we'll only give you a one-year guarantee. Let's play it by year and see how it goes year to year. And so maybe the Chargers are a viable option. The reason why I don't think that makes a lot of sense, honestly, is because I don't think the Chargers are really a contender, and you're already in the Patrick Mahomes division. So that doesn't seem to make any sense at all to me. So
Plus, the Chargers are not known for being a team that's going to spend a lot of money, and I just don't see them making – I understand from a PR standpoint and a publicity standpoint why that would make a lot of sense for them, but I don't know. Like I said, they're not a team that usually goes out and overspends for anybody.
It also seems strange to move on from a 38-year-old quarterback by signing a 43-year-old quarterback.
Yes, it does.
And again, it doesn't make sense to me from a Brady perspective, because I don't understand why you would come into Patrick Mahomes' division where it's unlikely, I think, that you're going to dethrone Patrick Mahomes and win the AFC West. And if you're not doing that, then your essentially best case scenario is make it as a wild card team and have to go on the road essentially three straight weeks in order to advance to the Super Bowl. And it seems to me now like Tom Brady is basically playing for trying to win Super Bowls at this point, even more so than in past years. So that just doesn't make sense to me to go to an inferior team in LA. So I don't know what the Chargers are going to do. I would be very surprised if they aren't drafting a young quarterback in the first round. And maybe they're willing to trade up to try to get Tua. Maybe they believe that Justin Herbert's going to fall to them and they love him. I don't know exactly. But that seems like maybe the most likely outcome here, although there are a lot of different moving parts. What do the Chargers do in your mind, Dub?
Well, I mean, they have the sixth pick in the upcoming draft. So,
yeah.
And ahead of them, there's a couple of teams in the top five that you could argue are not in the quarterback market, those teams being Washington and Detroit and the Giants, really. So, three teams. So, if they want to get in the Tua sweepstakes, they very much could, because they're a team that has a lot of talent, especially
because
on the defensive side of the
ball.
Otherwise,
Tua is going to go five, right? I mean, it would be a stunner, I think, if the Miami Dolphins pass on Tua at five.
Right, and there were reports this past week that the Dolphins were trying to trade up to number two with Washington.
Yep.
So they're kind of already, those teams are kind of already jostling for that position, assumably to get Tua. So I think what's going to happen is the Chargers are worst case going to be with Justin Herbert at six. And I think if that is available, I think that's the direction they go, because like you said, they're heading into a new stadium. It's going to be a really tough sell for a team that already has a tough time selling tickets if Tyrod Taylor is your quarterback and the face of your franchise. So I think Justin Herbert or Tua, if they decide to trade up with Washington, Detroit, or New York Giants to get ahead of the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, I don't think you can roll into SoFi Stadium, that brand new stadium where you're trying to sell seats, in an off season and say our guy is Tyrod Taylor. Now, it may make sense to start Tyrod Taylor for a couple of games, if you have a first-round quarterback and he doesn't quite hit the ground running. But I think the expectation has to be either you're going to get a free agent that makes people say, wow, at the quarterback position. And there are still, like I said, so many moving parts. Who knows exactly what might happen there? Or you're going to go at six or higher and go draft a quarterback. I think Tua would be a wow guy just based on the amount of attention that he has gotten. That would require you to move up again and be in a duel essentially with the Miami Dolphins, because I think if everything falls perfectly, the Dolphins at five would be very likely to take Tua. And I still believe, you know, despite all the noise that I'm sure will continue for a while about Joe Burrow's family maybe not particularly liking the Cincinnati Bengals, or Joe Burrow maybe not being the perfect fit for them, I would still be stunned if the Bengals don't take Burrow number one overall. What do the Chargers do in your mind, Danny G?
I would go with the Pac-12 star and Justin Herbert, beef up the O-line during the offseason here, let him rip, let him throw that ball deep, get some excitement going with that new offense.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what exactly makes the most sense, but Justin Herbert's an intriguing idea. He had a really good Senior Bowl, but at times, for people who are Oregon fans, it feels like he kind of disappeared in the biggest games, but he's a big, strong, you know, physical guy who seems to have all of the, you know, intangibles and tangibles for that matter, that everybody looks for in finding a franchise quarterback. So the end of an era in San Diego / LA.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Philip Rivers officially done in San Diego slash LA after 16 years. He's moved his family to Florida. Where is his next destination? Right now, the favorites would be Indianapolis and Tampa Bay. Remains to be seen exactly where he will be headed, but that's not all the drama that's out there right now in the world of NFL free agency at quarterback. And this is a lot of drama that we usually don't have as March looms closer and closer. Lots of big names out there on the quarterback marketplace. And one of the teams that has to make a big decision is the Dallas Cowboys, where Dak Prescott is coming up on his fifth year with the team. He is an unrestricted free agent right now. He could be franchised and traded potentially to a team that wants to make a long-term commitment to him. There have been reports that the Dallas Cowboys and Dak Prescott agreed roughly to a $33 million a year extension. And then Dak Prescott decided he wanted more money. Whether or not that's true, you never know 100% in the negotiation universe. Now there is talk that the Dallas Cowboys may have to franchise him. If they franchise him, will Dak show up or will he follow the Ezekiel Elliott roadmap and hold out, which I wouldn't blame him for because he's only made $2.7 million as quarterback in the first 4 years with the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, that is roughly, $700,000 a year on average, which is crazy when you consider that he's been the starting quarterback for 4 years. He wants to get paid. I don't blame him. He saw Ezekiel Elliott hold out with an existing contract. He fulfilled all the terms of his rookie contract, and they haven't been able to reach an agreement on what the dollar figure should be. Now, I don't blame the Cowboys either for saying, hey, Dak, we don't think that your market value is anywhere above maybe $30 million-ish. Maybe we'll go to $33 million a year at most. We could franchise tag you, and you would cost around $28 million. It's a big decision. And so it's not just about what Dak is worth. It's about whether you're going to franchise tag him, what other available options are out there. Well, Michael Irvin went on WEEI and said that he believes the talk of Tom Brady to the Dallas Cowboys is out there and is significant in nature. Now, he later said, I'm not talking about Jerry Jones or anybody like that, but here's what he had to say about the idea of Brady to the Cowboys.
Should the Cowboys trade Dak Prescott, franchise him and trade him, and sign Tom Brady for a couple of years?
Well, I can tell you something on that because I'm just telling you right now, and that Super Bowl in Miami, some very significant people and I had some conversations leaning in that same direction, and it was shocking. I mean, I had a vodka cranberry in my hand, and when they said it to me, I put the drink down and said, let's talk a little bit more about this right here, you know, because I had a conversation with people, I can't tell you who, about that same scenario going down, and I was like, I just don't know if that's a real possibility of it happening. And guys, you know where I stand with that. I think for the sanctity of the NFL, for what Tom has been, if I'm Commissioner Goodell and I know, I'm trying to lean and craft ear like, guys, we can't let this happen. You got to keep Tom somehow in New England and let him finish his career because I just think it's best for the NFL.
I actually disagree. I think Tom Brady as a legitimate free agent would be amazing. And the idea of Tom Brady to Dallas and Dallas franchise tagging Dak and allowing him to be traded to somebody else who wants to give him big money would be riveting drama that would be hard to look away from. And we don't usually see free agent drama anywhere near this level in the NFL in particular. We see it in the NBA and we see it in Major League Baseball. But I can't even remember the last time that we had real drama like this with healthy quarterbacks, where, again, right now, if you just look at the lineup, these are all the guys that are potentially out there available that would be all moving. Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Dak Prescott, Ryan Tannehill, Philip Rivers, Jameis Winston, Teddy Bridgewater, Marcus Mariota, Case Keenum. It remains to be seen how many of these guys will actually hit the unrestricted free agent marketplace. But we know at a minimum that Brady and Rivers are both going to be hitting that marketplace. And both of those guys are first ballot NFL Hall of Famers. a little bit like Peyton Manning, except when Peyton Manning hit free agency and was released by the Indianapolis Colts, there was a lot of uncertainty about whether or not he had the health to be able to play at a high level in the NFL going forward. Now, the Broncos took that risk, and he rewarded them. They went to two Super Bowls, and they won one of them in his 4 years in Denver. But there's no real doubt about whether or not Phillip Rivers or Tom Brady are healthy enough to still play quarterback. Now, you can certainly say, well, they're past their prime. They don't have the same fastball that they used to. They don't have the same ability to win games. Those are very valid opinions, but they seem pretty healthy. Granted, they're the ages of 48 and 43 and 38. I think I was the first person in national media to start to talk about the idea of Tom Brady to the Dallas Cowboys. It started to catch a lot of heat since. And with Brady now potentially out there as an unrestricted free agent, to me, the number one criteria for Tom Brady is, where can I go and win a championship? And if you look at the overall talent that is right there on the Dallas Cowboy roster as we speak, right? And we put this poll question up, I think, last week. 53% of you said you would take Brady over Dak Prescott. You put those rosters out there. I think the Dallas Cowboys on both the offensive and defensive sides of the ball are without a question a top 10 NFL roster. And if you had Tom Brady, who has proven that he can win an awful lot of games in the postseason and an awful lot of Super Bowls in general, and you're Jerry Jones and you are aging and you want to win one more at least Super Bowl after 25 years in the wilderness, I don't know that you can do better than Tom Brady. And if you are otherwise going to have to franchise tag Dak, and this is a big part of the discussion, is he going to show up on time? You got a brand new coach in Mike McCarthy. Are you willing to deal with the drama from Dak Prescott if you're not able to agree to a long-term deal? And it doesn't seem like the Cowboys and Dak Prescott have been able to agree to that long-term deal. Are you willing to deal with the fact that he might hold out? And by the way, I wouldn't blame him at all. He's not under contract at all right now. He's only made $2.7 million. The Cowboys set the precedent with Ezekiel Elliott that even if you're under contract, if you feel like you're underpaid, you don't have to show up for training camp at all. If all of those things are true in the Dak Prescott dilemma and your decision is we're going to have to franchise tag Dak, or we could go sign Tom Brady for 2 years, franchise tag Dak, trade him away, get an asset of some sort from a team that believes Dak is a long-range future of this of a franchise, Dak would then get a long-term deal from someone else who knows who that team is that would be envious of Dak Prescott and believe he's the future. And then, boom, you're rolling the dice with Tom Brady for 2 years, seeing if you can win a Super Bowl. And if you don't, you go back into the free agent or the young quarterback market and try to find your guy of the future. I don't think that's a bad move at all. Bringing in the crew, this is a big story because it involves two big-time star quarterbacks in Dak Prescott and Tom Brady, two major league franchises in the Patriots and the Cowboys that everybody cares about. On a scale of 1 to 10, how realistic, Danny G, do you think Tom Brady to the Dallas Cowboys is?
I would say 7.
Yeah, I think that's a valid number.
Sometimes on our show, we talk about topics that you don't hear on any other programs.
Yeah.
In this case, it took a month for other shows
to catch up,
to jump on this. Yeah, and it's interesting because it was on ESPN's website yesterday as if it was a brand new idea.
Yeah.
Because of Irvin on WEEI. And the show that's on right before you on FS1, Speak for Yourself, their panel was split because they were debating on whether you would pay Brady $30 million or you would pay Dak $30 million. Which of the two is really worth $30
million? Yeah, I don't think it's difficult. I think Brady is worth $30 million. I think the question, and again, this goes into whether or not you've made a long-range commitment or you believe in him. I think it's a legitimate question. If Dak Prescott wants $33 million a year, at least, and the Cowboys, let's say they've offered him nearly $100 million guaranteed, and he still wants more money, if you're going to have to franchise tag him, franchise tagging him sets up the potential of a Kirk Cousins-like situation, right? Where you double franchise tag a guy, and he's unhappy, and eventually he's going to leave you. if you don't think that you can come to agreements on what Dak Prescott is worth, I would not blame Dak Prescott at all for sitting out. And I also don't blame the Dallas Cowboys, who have a lot of good young talent that they're going to have to pay, trying to avoid getting put in salary cap prison by overpaying a lot of guys. And so I understand Dak Prescott's perspective. Remember, you still have Amari Cooper out there too. But I understand Dak Prescott's perspective of Ezekiel Elliott held out when he had a contract and you, Jerry Jones, and the Dallas Cowboys rewarded him. Why in the world will you not take care of me when I fulfilled the terms of my original contract and you had a starting quarterback for 4 years in Dallas making a total of $2.7 million? That's an average of $700,000, roughly, a little bit less a year. That's not that much money. I mean, in fact, the Cowboys had a steal for 4 years, and it's why it's kind of unfortunate for them that they weren't able to get past the divisional round of the playoffs because they had a lot of money they could spend elsewhere. They tried to follow the Russell Wilson map, where if you remember when the Seahawks had so much early success, it was partly because they had Russell Wilson under a rookie contract. They knew he was the answer at quarterback, and they could spend a lot of money around him. As soon as you have to pay a guy $35 million a year, which is what the Dallas Cowboys may well feel like they have to pay Dak Prescott in order to get a deal done, it diminishes, it minimizes in a big way, it diminishes what you can spend on talent around him. And so I understand the Cowboy perspective too. This is one of those situations where I don't think either side is in the wrong here. Dub, what do you think? Does Brady, the Dallas Cowboys, have any sustainability here?
Well, first of all, $33 million for Dak Prescott is crazy, in my opinion. I don't think if he went out in free agency this offseason and the franchise tag wasn't a real thing, I don't think there's any team in the NFL that would be offering that same kind of money for Dak Prescott. So that's just off the top.
What do you think his market value would be? That's a good question. $25 million?
I think $25 to $28 million would be fair.
And that might be high, because, I mean, I think there's a Nick Foles level of, you know, I mean, I think this, by the way, is kind of true of Ryan Tannehill, too. I think Nick Foles is your good but not great level free agent quarterback, and I think Dak is a little bit above him. So I would put him at 25 to 28. I think that's fair, but I think $25 million might well be his top-of-the-line number on the open market.
I would agree with that. And you mentioned that he's been on his rookie deal for the last four seasons, and that's kind of the window for these teams to make it to the Super Bowl. $30 million is like 43 times more than you have been paying him these past 4 years. So you just got to take that into consideration, because you've kind of already missed your real championship window here by not having to pay Dak Prescott. But as far as Tom Brady to the Cowboys goes, I agree with Danny G. I think it's a 6 or a 7. I think it makes a ton of sense, the fit. Like we've mentioned, you know, over the past week or so, the offensive line is better than New England. The wide receivers are better than New England. The tight ends are better than New England. The running back is obviously better. So all across the board on the offensive side of the ball, the Cowboys are superior to what the Patriots had last year. And Tom Brady has a burning desire, I'm sure, to win at least one more Super Bowl to get past that number of 6, which is so famous across the world of sports. So it makes a ton of sense if he does go anywhere. I think the Cowboys make more sense than, for instance, a team like the Chargers.
Yeah, and also I do believe that Tom Brady wants to – I think he and Belichick both want to prove that they're the reason why the dynasty ever happened. I think that there is a burning desire in both Brady and Belichick's soul to win Super Bowls without each other, because then that gives the legitimacy of – I was the reason why this dynasty in New England happened. I think that's kind of the subtext of a lot of the discord between Brady and Belichick, is who's the man, right? And if Brady leaves to go to Dallas, I think he's got a decent chance to win a Super Bowl down there. But I also think that Belichick then likes the fact that he has a clear deck and is able to go out and look at all these different free agent quarterbacks, as well as potentially contemplating making a trade up to go get a first round quarterback and build a new team that's able to win a championship. Because remember, New England's talent on the defensive side of the ball is pretty phenomenal. Is their offense that let them down the stretch run of this season. And so I think this is a story that is really worth following.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I'm just glad I was there.
Boys and girls.
I thought he thought I was like this ginormous piece of chicken.
Dying time's here.
I had a boa constrictor stuck to my face.
Sam, you have a what?
This is Animal Thunderdome.
All right, where do we start?
All right, let's start in Sterling, Virginia. This is kind of scaring people because of the whole coronavirus situation. U.S. Customs and Border Protection agriculture specialists recently seized a package of tiny dead birds in a passenger's baggage at Washington Dulles International Airport. The traveler arrived on a flight from Beijing and was destined to an address in Maryland. During this baggage examination, CBP discovered a package with pictures of a cat and a dog. The passenger claimed it was cat food. But this Ziploc package contained a bunch of unknown small birds about 3.5 inches in length. The picture, this is why it's been tweeted into me so many times. I'll tweet this picture out at Danny G Radio, at Clay Travis on Twitter. If you could imagine what a 3.5 inch dried up bird looks like, almost looks like beef jerky, but with feet. Obviously, this scared the hell out of everybody at this baggage claim.
Speaking of scaring, have you guys been paying attention to this story about the Japanese cruise ship?
Oh, not only have I been paying attention to it, I wanted to bring that up real quick. Remember the story I told about the station owner that flew me in and had me stay at his mansion and he cooked me Mickey Mouse pancakes?
Yes.
He and his wife are on that.
They're on the ship?
They're on the cruise ship. Their radio station website has been covering their story. They've been quarantined in their cabin for weeks.
Can we get them on?
There was a little thing at the bottom that said for media contact. So I don't know if they're speaking to the press, but they are speaking to their own radio station.
You should reach out and see if we can get them. This is the most terrifying. I'm not a cruise ship guy.
Yeah.
Like people who listen to this show regularly may remember we went on a family cruise like 2 years ago, the Disney cruise. With all three of our kids, and we were all in the same room. And look, the kids loved it, but I don't like being on cruise ships. Because it feels like I'm fine being on an island. I'm fine going somewhere. But I don't like being at sea. I don't like being on boats. Like, I feel a little bit claustrophobic about it, right?
Oh, I'm right there with you.
This is my worst nightmare for a vacation. So if you're not familiar with this story, this family, lots of families, but this cruise ship had the coronavirus found on it in Japan. And they have now been quarantining for a week. People can't leave their cruise ship rooms. And if you've ever been on a cruise ship, these rooms are tiny. I mean, and many of them are interior. They don't even have a window. So imagine if you had kids. Like, you're not allowed to leave this room. And slowly, people have been adding the corona. Over 100 people now on the ship have the coronavirus. So every day, more people are getting found, which theoretically extends how long the quarantine is going to take, right? And so I would be losing my mind. I mean, I'm not even kidding. If I had a balcony, I'd be thinking about jumping off the ship and trying to make a run for it.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. I mean, you're basically imprisoned on this cruise ship now.
Clay, there's a picture of him on the website where he's wearing a mask and gloves, and he's on the deck of the ship, and it says it's the first time he was let out of his cabin in 2 weeks.
Yeah, they let them now, I think, it's like prison. They will let them get out and walk around now, but you're not allowed to come within 6 feet of another person.
Ugh.
And you have to wear a mask and everything else, but they get like an hour a day to be able to go out. And the staff, by the way, is getting sick too, and I don't know how this thing ends, but this is like the worst pot. I can't think of a more terrifying thing than being stuck on this ship while everybody slowly gets a deadly virus.
Yep. Heights have never bothered me, but claustrophobic for sure, and I would go nuts.
It's the worst. I can't imagine, not to mention, you know, like the fact that you can't get home, and I think 20 Americans now have tested positive for coronavirus. This is an international cruise ship. I don't know how many people are on it in general, but this is, yeah, this is pretty awful.
By the way, because of the possibility of these birds having a highly
contagious
influenza, the U.S. Department of Agriculture say that they destroyed them by incineration.
What a weird thing to travel with to begin with.
Okay, quickly, is a 21-year-old death okay with you?
I don't know. It depends on how it happened.
This happened in Limpopo. This is in Africa. Authorities are investigating the death of a 21-year-old woman who was attacked and killed by a number of lions at a private game reserve there. She was an employee. They say that preliminary investigations indicate that she was performing her duties when she was attacked and killed by an unknown number of lions.
Tough way to go.
Talk about a tough job.
Multiple lions is tough. I mean, one lion killing you would be bad enough, but an entire pack of lions, I don't even know how you bounce back from that. I mean, well, obviously she's not going to bounce back from it, but I don't know how anybody
No, but how are they going to hire her replacement?
Yeah, no kidding.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
Joined now, as we are every single Tuesday in Hour 3, by Petros Papadakis at The Old P on Twitter, AM 570 LA Sports, Petros and Money Show every single afternoon. And Petros, big story in the world of LA, but also in the world of the NFL. Phillip Rivers done with the Chargers. Thanks for getting up early with us. What do the Chargers do now?
Well, good morning to you, Clay, and the entire Outkick radio program listener base. Enormous listener base.
Thank you.
I hope today finds you well.
Yes.
Probably not, though, since you're leading with Phillip Rivers, right?
Well, this is a week when, you know, a lot of times I take vacation. I'm actually out next week. But the week after the Super Bowl is usually a pretty dead zone, right? There's not a lot of stuff that goes down. But this is, I think, the NFL free agent quarterback market is actually going to be pretty interesting here. And we knew that it was likely to happen, but this was the official news that Phillip Rivers is done.
Well, yeah, it did come official, and it was kind of a weird sort of a low squirt gun, you know, not a super soaker, but like the squirt guns we grew up with.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah.
And that's kind of how it ended. And it's sort of sad because however you feel about Phillip Rivers, most people were kind of annoyed with him. But if you ever interviewed him, he was a pretty genuine guy. And he played his ass off. And he had a lot of success as a quarterback in the NFL. The unfortunate part of it is he did not want to move to L.A. He never did physically move to Los Angeles. He didn't want the team to move. He hated playing in the Carson Dignity Health Sports Park, which is understandable. You know, there's no fans in there at all for the Chargers, really, in a lot of occasions because they just sold their tickets to people that wanted to see the Chiefs up close like that, you know, the only time in their lives, stuff
right.
like that. So it was pretty unfortunate the way it ended. He never really embraced the L.A. thing and didn't make himself really available to the city. So the ending of it, you know, and obviously the people in San Diego love Phillip Rivers, but they're very bitter about what happened with the Chargers. So, and he never really wanted to be a Southern California person when he retires or moves on. You know, he wants to live in Alabama. I think Matt said yesterday that he was in a vacation home in Florida. That's where he's at right now. But where he's going to land, I'm not sure, but I always enjoyed covering him. I always, maybe Frank Reich in Indianapolis is something people think about because they have a connection back with the Chargers
right.
When Reich was the offensive coordinator. But, you know, I don't know. It's a lot like Tom Brady without the championships. It's like, you know, who wants to bring in this old guy? Is that going to get everybody excited? You're not really sure if he's going to be able to have success like a Rich Gannon type of thing or not. But I really did enjoy covering him and interviewing him and being around him when I did have the chance because I really thought he was one of the most sincere football players I've ever been around. And definitely, I liked watching his face get all red and listen to him freak out and, you know, yell and scream without swearing because he's deeply religious is pretty funny. I loved covering Phillip Rivers.
So he leaves now the Chargers. And by the way, the two favorite teams to sign him, you mentioned one of them, the Indianapolis Colts are the favorite team to sign him. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the second most likely team. But you mentioned the Chargers now moving on. They're moving into a new stadium. Tyrod Taylor, in theory, would be their starting quarterback. Can they roll into a brand new stadium in L.A. with Taylor as their quarterback? Or do you think they have to go into the free agent market or draft a first-round quarterback and hand the reins to him?
If Tua's on the bench with his hip healing, I think they could do it.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah. I don't think Tua will be there at six, so they would have to trade up in order to get him. But, yes.
Well, Telesco, I mean, say what you will about the Chargers and their move to Los Angeles and how that whole thing has gone and the atmosphere in Dignity Health Sports Park, which is now a thing of the past. Tom Telesco, the Chargers GM, is a good and experienced GM. And they know what they're doing as far as bringing in players. You know, he drafted Austin Eckler. You know, they've done a very good job. They have a lot of great skill position guys. Some people think that that's why they might be an attractive place for Tom Brady. They need some O-line help, I understand. But overall, they have a lot of great skill players to get the ball to. Keenan Allen's one of the best receivers in the NFL, kind of in an undercover way. So they do have a lot of good things going, and Telesco is a good GM, and he could, I believe, pull that off. You know, it's not like it's the Cleveland Browns here. So we'll see. But they haven't had to do anything about the quarterback in a long, long time. You know, Phillip Rivers didn't miss games. So it will be very – and which is also kind of sad – for how it ended. So it'll be very interesting to see, and I don't think anybody has any idea which way this is going to go. Although I'm like you, I expect Tom Brady to stay in New England. That is my women's intuition.
Yeah, before all is said and done, I would be very surprised if he decides to leave. And so I think Brady will stay in New England. I think something will get worked out with Dak down in Dallas, even if they have to franchise him. All right, that's the NFL free agent market. There's
How
lots
about
of moving
that? We're really
here.
Sportsing it up, huh, Clay? Really yeah. Sportsing it up here in the morning.
No,
down,
I've got
down here in the basement, huh?
I've got a big question for you that has nothing to do with sports.
Oh, I can't wait for that, Clay.
Are you a cruise guy? Have you ever been on a cruise?
No, I'd rather die probably a more peaceful death. I almost said, you know, die by bludgeoning, but no, never.
So
I consider boats, although I do embrace a nautical theme.
Yes,
because I grew up in a harbor town and I live by the water, so I do embrace a nautical theme. However, most boats I just regard as floating toilets of varying degrees of luxury.
Yes,
and also harbingers of doom and disease.
Yes.
So, and for every successful cruise, I know there's thousands and thousands, and for every, you know, thousands, there's, you know, just one or two that, you know, make huge news about being absolutely miserable and the worst experience of
yes.
people's lives if they survive it. However, even the culture of it is kind of terrible. Like, you know, you see these cruises to the Greek islands, you know, where I mean, I got married on a Greek island, and I've been to the Greek islands a little bit in my life over the years. And, you know, the day doesn't really start for anybody that lives there until 3 o'clock, when all the doofuses on the freaking cruise have to leave. And then the island actually becomes fun.
Right.
You know, cruises suck all the way around.
All right, so you are anti-cruise, but even you have to consider, like, I went on a cruise 2 years ago, a Disney family cruise with my three kids, my wife. We were in a, you know, a tiny little room because the
never.
Cruise ship rooms are tiny,
never.
Right? All five of us.
Never.
But have you been paying attention to this Japanese cruise disaster?
So a little bit, and I will never, ever go. I don't care if my kid, it was going to fulfill my child's life. Never would I go on any cruise of any kind.
This is maybe the worst nightmare for a lot of people. If you haven't heard this story, we talked about
they're
it a little bit.
They're quarantined on a boat somewhere in the middle of nowhere, right?
Well, they're actually in a port in Japan. So I want to get your take. Presume that you are on a boat where the coronavirus has been found. The people are not allowed off the boat. They're being quarantined. Over 100 of them have now caught the coronavirus. They aren't really allowed to leave their rooms, and they aren't allowed to leave the boat. Is this the worst vacation of all time?
Are you going to survive it?
I don't know.
Well, obviously the worst vacation of all time is the one that you die.
Yeah, right. But like, for instance, if you're on an airplane and the airplane crashes and you're on
vacation. No, I don't want to talk about that.
That's not really the vacation, though. This is, you ended up where you
were
trying to go.
All right, let's say a coconut falls on your head and you die.
Right.
That's the worst vacation of all time.
That's a tough vacation. But outside of...
You die!
Yeah, but it's a sudden death. I think being locked in your cruise ship room, slowly watching everybody get the coronavirus around you, is worse than suddenly having a coconut fall on your head and dying.
What it really sounds like is every boat trip, 200 years ago.
Well, yeah, that's true. And that certainly is not ideal. If you were an immigrant or you had to come to the country in a boat, I mean, I can't imagine how miserable that is. But
scurvy.
This is voluntary. You're wealthy because you're paying a lot of money to get on these cruise ships, and you can't get off because slowly the coronavirus is stalking your ship.
You know, Clay, you make it. You make it sound very unappealing.
Yes.
You're making a really great case that it is the worst vacation of all time. That being said, I had an idea that's kind of related to that a long time ago for when, like reality shows like Survivor were really hot. You know, they're not as prevalent today. But I was going to have a show called Scurvy, where everybody has to get on a boat, and the boat can be in a port, and it can be like a pirate ship, and everybody dresses like a pirate, and nobody can have any citrus, and the last person to get like scurvy wins. Once your gums turn black, you got to go.
Oh, that sounds awful. And didn't they have a pirate ship reality show?
Yeah, but you have to do like a bunch of citrus-oriented activities, like squishing orange juice and stuff, but you can't drink it.
That sounds awful. But by the way, speaking of sounding awful, in addition to this cruise ship and your reality show
idea. So you're not going to invest in Scurvy?
Not going to invest in Scurvy. I don't think a lot of people would watch. Much like a lot of people didn't watch. Did you watch the Oscars?
A little bit.
Did you see Joaquin Phoenix come out against Milk?
Yeah, I really did.
What's your thought on him coming out against Milk?
Well, growing up in a restaurant that served veal,
yeah,
I didn't really have a leg to stand on.
Yes.
Speaking of pirates.
Yeah, very well done.
it's tough to get lectured by actors. I've always felt that way. I even felt that way when Richard Gere was up there screaming about Tibet. And, he was right. But actors make me sick. Is that cool?
I think there's a lot. I mean, increasingly, I thought Ricky Gervais, what he said at the Golden Globes, where he's like, most of you aren't that smart. You haven't been in school that long. Like, the idea that you're going to be able to, lecture the American public is, laughable. Just take your award, pose for your photos, and shut up. That was basically Ricky Gervais's perspective.
Yeah, I'm disgusted by almost every political speech that's misplaced in one of these shows. And that would be top to bottom on any side. Most of them obviously are on one side when it comes to the Oscars, but I'm just not that guy. And I'm a person that doesn't want to hear it in that venue, but there's a lot of people that nod their head and clap and scream and yell on various platforms to encourage it also. And it's very popular at the club afterwards when everybody buys that guy a shot of probably $500 a shot whiskey and gives him a high five and tells him he's the coolest person in the world.
Did you watch Parasite?
No, but I embrace Southern South Korean culture.
That's why I'm surprised you haven't seen it.
Yeah, I haven't. I don't watch movies. They sent it to the house. It's here.
Who sent it?
But I don't. I am not.
How do you get you got the movie sent to your house?
Well, aren't you in SAG-AFTRA?
No, I don't. I mean, so you get all the movies sent to your house?
Everybody gets all the movies sent to their house that's ever been on TV. You're on TV every day.
How am I not getting the movie sent to me?
I'm on TV once a week, nationally in the football season.
Yep.
And I get the movies.
Wow, I need to figure out how I get the movies sent to my house.
Well, no one has a DVD player. Aren't you in SAG? Being on Outkick the gambling show?
I don't know. I mean, what I would think that I should be, but I'm
not
sure.
Don't you pay your dues?
I don't know.
Are you in the union?
I don't know.
You're out, man.
I don't know about any of this stuff, actually.
You're out.
Maybe I'm not in the union.
I'll send
Nobody's
you the
asked me to be in the union.
You want me to send it across
well,
the
Well, I watched
country?
It. I watched it. I thought it was an interesting movie, but I thought you with your love for all this crazy Asian related, anime and everything else, you would have seen this thing.
You're trying to call me a pervert, aren't you?
Yeah, a little bit.
You're trying to call me a pervert.
Yeah.
No, I haven't. I watch mostly old movies on Turner Classic. If I watch a movie,
all right.
But I think I'm going to take my son to see Sonic the Hedgehog, which I'm also thinking about protesting because Dr. Robotnik is played by Jim Carrey, who's obviously enormously talented. But Dr. Robotnik is supposed to be a giant fat guy. He's supposed to look like Andy Reid, and this isn't cool. I'm having a hard time reconciling a skinny Dr. Robotnik as I am a huge fan of Sonic the Hedgehog.
It's a live-action Sonic the Hedgehog, not a cartoon?
No, I think Jim Carrey's like going to mess around with like a cartoon.
Okay. All right, so last question for you. They come to you and they say, hey, there's this cruise line. They're willing to pay you a lot of money to go on a cruise as a part of your radio show. How much money would they have to pay you to go on a week-long cruise?
Are they going to offer me or my wife?
Well, I mean, she'll find out about it.
Oh, she'll send me for $5,000.
Because she would want to go or she wants you to be gone?
No, she sent me to my death and for the money.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll join the club.
Right. For me, if I'm just negotiating for myself.
Yes.
I need money.
Yeah.
They didn't hire me to do the XFL game, so.
Did you audition for the XFL?
What's that?
Did you audition for the XFL?
I did a test game for them.
So what happened? Really. Why do you think you didn't get picked?
Because they probably would have to pay me.
Yeah.
And people on the payroll, they don't have to. And I don't know. Anyway, it's okay. There's a lot of games I don't get picked to do.
Yeah.
Almost every game. you can only do one a week.
Right.
But anyway, I need money. So I might have to lower myself, but it would be among the most miserable death marches of my life, maybe literally.
Yeah, potentially, especially if you end up in Japan with the coronavirus. Petros Papadakis, appreciate you waking up early with us. You can hear him, AM 570 LA Sports, Petros and Money Show, at the old P on Twitter.
Enjoy the XFL on Fox.
Will do. Sorry you're not there. But I'm glad you're alive and not trapped on a Japanese ship in the middle of nowhere.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.